This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. Almost exactly 101 years ago, as the United States was about to enter World War I, a man named Bill Kennedy crossed the finish line of the Boston Marathon with his gray hair covered by a bandana displaying the stars and stripes. All the men running that race were amateurs. They ran for the love of the sport, and in that respect, they were similar to most of the 30,000 runners who will cross the finish line in Boston on Monday. Only a Game's Karen Given has our story.
Growing up, Patrick Kennedy was often asked if he was related to those Kennedys. You know, JFK, RFK, Ted. He's not.
Correct. Not related to the more famous Kennedys. Or like I said, well, they're not related to us, you know.
But there is one famous Kennedy in Patrick's family line. He was known as Bricklayer Bill. Patrick didn't know much about his most famous relative until one night in 2010, when Patrick was out to dinner with his family. A distant cousin named Anne Louise was there. She was in her 80s, and she had grown up knowing Bill.
Anne Louise, out of the blue, said, well, you know, he gave me a manuscript. And we all dropped our forks and just were dumbfounded.
That's Patrick's father, Lawrence Kennedy. It took Anne Louise a little while, but eventually she found the manuscript in her basement. Or most of it. She'd set one chapter aside for safekeeping. Then she lost it. It wasn't found until after her death. Anyway.
I got it from Anne Louise. You know, came home. I remember my wife was making pasta, and I sat there in the kitchen reading every page, you know, in one sitting.
The manuscript was 75 or 80 pages, full of mistakes and typos, with notes and corrections in the margins. Patrick says his great-granduncle was a talented writer, even though he probably never finished high school.
He read widely. He quoted poems. He quoted Kipling and Shakespeare.
And this is how Patrick Kennedy first read the words of Bill Kennedy, born in 1883.
What in the name of God ever started you men running 26 miles?
The words of Bill Kennedy are being read by actor Mike Lovell. Bill's manuscript was full of little stories, like the one about his encounter with a stylishly dressed woman named Mrs. Levy, who approached Bill and a group of fellow marathoners in the lobby of New York's Long Beach Hotel.
You may wonder, as did Mrs. Levy, why men run so far for a medal or trophy. Other questions so often asked are, what do you think of along the road? Are you not afraid you'll drop dead running so far? And the commercial one so often asked, don't you get paid for running?
Bill Kennedy's running obsession began in 1896, months after the first Olympic marathon was held in Athens, Greece. The first U.S. marathon ran through Bill's hometown of Port Chester, New York.
When the leaders were running through, he and his friends all just jumped in and ran alongside them and saw them off at the railroad bridge out of town.
Bill became a bricklayer, like his father. He moved west and settled in St. Louis, which is where he witnessed the 1904 Summer Olympics and finally decided to give marathoning a try.
And that kind of became his passion.
In the early days of the sport, races were sponsored by posh athletic clubs, and they were strictly amateur. But most of the men who ran the long-distance races weren't posh at all.
Plumbers, carpenters, you know, other bricklayers, you know, the bulk of them were kind of working-class guys.
The athletic clubs would sponsor runners, paying their travel expenses. But you had to establish yourself as a contender first. A train ticket could cost a week's wages. So Lawrence says...
He would hobo, just take freight cars or ride on the top of a baggage car, any way that he could. He really didn't have the money, and he really didn't like to pay the money.
The weather was mild in St. Louis, so I crossed the bridge to East St. Louis and climbed into a boxcar. After sundown, the wind shifted north, and it was down to zero by the time we reached Decatur, Illinois. The next evening, with the thermometer at 10 below... I rode a boxcar to Chicago, jogging back and forth to keep from freezing. At every stop, the end brakeman walked up to my Pullman, banging on the door. He would shout, "Are you awake, Bricky?" "Yes, sir." "Don't go to sleep or you'll never wake up."
Sitting at his kitchen table that evening, reading that manuscript for the first time, Patrick came across one story so unexpected that he pushed aside Bill's tattered pages and pulled out his computer.
I went right to the Library of Congress website, and I found, sure enough, front page.
The year was 1909. Bill was in Des Moines, Iowa, working on the Des Moines Coliseum. It was towards the end of the project, and Bill was leaning out over the sidewalk, scraping excess mortar from the south wall.
A gust of wind blew him off the roof. He fell 5 stories. It was a 65-foot fall. There was a pedestrian walking right underneath him. Bill landed on him. And killed the poor guy. And at first they thought Bill died too, and then they went over and saw that he was still breathing. He went to the hospital. He survived.
Bill didn't have much to say about the incident.
Like, he didn't go into how he felt or anything like that. The way he put it was, my number wasn't up that day. In the next paragraph, he says, you know, after I recovered, I realized I was fit enough to keep running. That was pretty much, his first concern,
This would be a theme in Bill Kennedy's life. No matter how far he fell, literally or figuratively, he would get up. And when he did, his first thought would turn to running. It happened again in 1913. Here's Patrick.
He had had such a great year. I think it was something like in the space of 10 weeks, he had won 2 marathons and several shorter races. And then that fall, he was stricken with typhoid fever.
This was before the days of penicillin. Typhoid fever could be deadly. Bill was in the hospital for more than 3 months. He survived.
But the way the one of the Chicago papers put it was that he was hollowed out. He was a shell of his former self.
Patrick says Bill appeared to age decades in just a few months. His face became wrinkled. His hair turned gray.
Actually, my dad went gray pretty early, but I think in Bill's case it was triggered by the typhoid.
Nobody expected Bill to return to the marathon circuit.
Yeah, most of the doctors at the hospital had told him, yeah, your running days are over. But then he told this one doctor, he said,
as soon as I was able, I would have to go back to laying brick, which was hard manual labor for 8 hours, while the marathon took less than 3 hours. On the job, you had a boss breathing down the back of your neck. In racing, you had a cheery word and the applause of the crowd. So Doc says, you got something there. Go to it, and good luck.
Bill recovered well enough to run the Boston Marathon in 1915, but his running club had cut him loose, thinking his best days were over. He rode the rails and arrived with nothing more than his running clothes wrapped in a newspaper. After a bath, he walked down to Newspaper Row, where Boston's 9 daily papers were located.
Larry was astonished when I told him how I got to Boston. He called Mr. Barnes, his boss, to whom I had to repeat my story.
That is actually how Bill gained his fame.
By the time Bill Kennedy lined up at the start of the Boston Marathon in 1917, wearing that Stars and Stripes bandana, he was 33 years old. Lawrence says the papers rounded up to 35.
Nobody had ever won the Boston Marathon over the age of 30. So he clearly wasn't considered to be one of the favorites.
The guys who were favored to win were a couple of finish runners. The only question was, which one of them is going to win.
Marathons are difficult to predict, and Bill Kennedy was much younger and fitter than he looked. Bill took the lead after less than 10 miles.
There was, some risk that he had run too hard too soon. And sure enough, here he is in Brookline on a downward slope. That's when he started to fade. He almost got dizzy and weak and felt like his legs were lead.
Marathoners call it hitting the wall, and Bill hit it hard. His marathon might have been lost if not for a newspaper reporter in a chase car who noticed the leader was slowing down and shouted at him to speed up. Bill crossed the finish line first in 2 hours, 28 minutes, and 37 seconds. He told reporters,
"It's great to win the marathon, but it doesn't buy any steaks or potatoes or onions these days. And there's Mrs. Kennedy and the 2 little Kennedys out there in Chicago."
The next morning, Bill returned to work at the bricklaying job he'd taken in Boston to pay his expenses while he was in town.
But then it started raining. They called off work for the day, and then he went to Newspaper Row and talked to this guy, Spargo, this sports columnist.
Bill had a habit of seeking out reporters when he had something to say, and on this afternoon, he was apparently feeling philosophical. He compared marathoning with a daily grind of men like him, men who struggled to feed their families on $12 or $14 a week.
Many a times, that man realizes he's on the toughest marathon in this life, but the right fellow never quits. He goes on trying his best when his better judgment tells him he's up against it. I know, believe me. for I've been over those jumps myself.
Bill Kennedy ran more than 100 marathons, retiring from the sport at 57. He continued to lay brick well into his 70s. A few years before his death at the age of 84, Bill decided to sit down at that manual typewriter and share what he'd learned over decades of running. He wrote 26 chapters, one for each mile of the marathon. Some of his stories still contain good lessons, like this one.
Feeling rather chesty after doing 5 miles under 26 minutes, I turned to Mr. Wilson, our coach. How am I doing, coach? Am I laying them down all right? Never mind how you lay them down. Keep picking them up, was his reply. Later on that evening, thinking of his remark, it dawned on me. Why, sure, that's the secret of running. Keep picking them up. And I smiled at the thought. They go down on their own.
Bill Kennedy's manuscript was never published, but if it had been, it would have been called Keep Picking 'Em Up. Lawrence Kennedy finds the title fitting.
I think that's what he did in his life. He just kept going and kept going forward.
Patrick and Lawrence Kennedy excerpted Bill Kennedy's manuscript for their book, Bricklayer Bill, The Untold Story of the Working Man's Boston Marathon, and we'll have a link at onlyagame.org. Our story was reported and produced by Only a Game's Karen Given.